I was thinking about the Lord saying, I am the way. And the only way I am going to get to the Father is if I'm in Christ and He brings me into the Father's presence. And the only evidence that I am in Christ is faith in Him. Believing and relying on Him bringing me to the Father. This thing of coming to the Father, well, I come to the Father when Christ comes to the Father. I came to the Father when He ascended back to the Father. And the evidence that I'm in Christ is believing the gospel. And I hope this will be even more clear after this message. I've entitled this message, Wagons for Jacob. Wagons for Jacob. Now, 22 years before this had taken place, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. This is after they had sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Verse 29, and Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat. Remember that coat of many colors that he was given as the favorite son? They took his coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, this we have found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. And he knew it. And said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. It's kind of strange, isn't it? They sell him. And then they rise up to comfort him. These men could almost be cold-blooded. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard. Now, for 22 years he had believed that a lion or a bear or some kind of animal had torn his son into pieces. And he believed him to be dead. And this is the time he's going to find out Joseph lives. Can you imagine that? Thinking your child has been dead, dying of a violent death for 22 years, and then finding out he lives. Verse 16 of chapter 45. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. Now this is what we considered last week. Joseph forgiving his brothers. And it was a famous thing. Everybody heard about it. And everybody was touched by it. There's something powerful in this story. This thing of forgiveness. And Pharaoh was touched by it. You know the story. I think it's interesting that Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote a Broadway play that was very popular for many years called Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Okay. I've seen the play and it really is good, but there's just something very touching about this story. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it please Pharaoh well and his servants. Pharaoh was excited about this because he loved Joseph. You look at what Joseph had done for that land. They'd all be dead. They wouldn't have anything to eat if it wasn't for Joseph. And he had great respect for Joseph. Verse 17, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now, thou art commanded. This is not an option. This is not something you can do if you want to. Thou art commanded. This do ye. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. Now this is when he's going to bring 70 souls into Egypt. And we're going to consider that in a couple of weeks about how the 70 were brought in. And thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also, regard not your stuff. My marginal reading says, spare not your stuff. Don't worry about bringing stuff with you. Don't spare it. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. You don't need to worry about the stuff you're going to be leaving behind. You're going to be coming into a much better position. Don't worry about your stuff. Verse 21. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. This was a long trip. To all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment, new clothing. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. He's showing his favoritism toward Benjamin. Even then, that was his blood brother. They had the same mother. And we're going to come back to that. There's significance to those numbers used. And to his father, he sent after this manner. 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. Now there's significance to that number 10, and I'm sure you can think of it as we're considering this. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. You know, he knew there would be finger pointing. This is your fault. You did this. Why did this happen? Why? He knew exactly what they were going to be doing. And he thought they could be getting in all kinds of accusations against each other. He said, see that you didn't fall not out by the way. Remain brethren. Remain good one to another. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And can you imagine how this would have shook him up to hear this? Your favorite son is alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Now that, talking about shocking, this was the most powerful place in the world. This is the place where you get food. And he found out that not only is Joseph alive, he's the governor over all the land. He's in charge of everything. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. I can understand that. He believed them not. Well, what did it take for him to believe? Verse 27, and they told him all the words of Joseph. You know, no one's ever saved by half a gospel. You got to hear the whole gospel. They told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he, Jacob, saw the wagons, that was the means of transport. That's how he was going to get to his son. When he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. He saw the wagons. He heard all the words. And that soul that had fainted in unbelief was revived. And Israel said, it's enough. It's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. That's my one desire. To go and see him before I die. Every historical narrative in the Old Testament is something that actually took place. This is not a fairy tale. This is a historical narrative of events that literally took place. And it's important for us every time we read anything in the Scripture, to remember, this is given to teach us the gospel. Every one of these stories. And you know, I hear a lot of times I'll hear preachers make good illustrations out of life and so on. I, for whatever reason, I don't have much of a gift for that. I wish I did, but I don't. But I tell you what, we have better illustrations in the Bible than any man-made illustration. That's what the Old Testament is all about. It's given to teach us something of the gospel. And the prominent feature in this story is wagons. Wagons. Pharaoh hears this wonderful story of Joseph forgiving his brethren. And he loves Joseph and he's excited about this taking place. And when he hears of Joseph's father and his extended family in Canaan, he says, I'm going to give you wagons laden with the good of the land. You go back up to Canaan, get Jacob and all of his family, and bring them back. Lo, I have commanded you to do this. Now, in this story, Pharaoh, the supplier of the wagons, typifies the father. Joseph is a type of Christ, as he always is. Jacob is a type of the believer, and the wagons that bring him to Joseph are a type of faith. That's true. We come to the Father by Christ, like we just heard in that song. He said, no man can come to the Father but by me. But how did they go to the Father? Through these wagons. These wagons brought them, and these wagons typify faith. That's how we lay hold upon Christ. Now, I'm going to read the passage again, and we're going to look at the gospel. This will be the third time we've read it. And now I hope, by the grace of God, we'll see the gospel clearly in this touching passage of Scripture. And the fame, verse 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Do you know that it pleases God to save sinners? He delights in mercy. He is pleased. It's his pleasure to save sinners by his grace. Don't ever forget that about the Lord. He's so glorious. You know, we'll have a tendency to think about election or Christ's effectual redemption for his elect, and we'll think, well, that means there's going to be people that aren't going to be saved. Well, yeah, it does, but that's not the point. He saves sinners. Nobody deserves to be saved. But oh, the mercy and grace of God that he is pleased to save sinners. He's well pleased. Verse 17, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren. Now, I love to think of the Father saying to Christ, say to your brethren. When he's talking about believers, every believer is his little brother. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Brethren. Christ calls every one of his people my brother. Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to his image, that he might be the firstborn among what? Many brethren. When the Lord is raised from the dead, the disciples have all forsaken him and fled. He is raised from the dead. He says to Mary, go to my brethren. James and Peter, all these men who denied me, were in hiding, afraid to confess me, go to my brethren. And say unto them, I go to my Father and your Father. I go to my God and your God. Oh, the relationship between Christ and his brethren. There's a true family relationship between Christ and every one of his people. He said, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. That's what the Lord said. You know, the things we say, we wouldn't dare say them or even think them unless the Bible said them. But he said this, as the Father, you think of the way the Father loved the Son. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, my brethren. Verse 17, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye. He's not giving him advice at this time. He's not giving him an option. He said, this do ye. Aren't you glad the gospel's a command? If I believed the gospel was an invitation, and I know sometimes it kind of sounds like an invitation, you know, when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And I'm thankful for the way the Lord presents it. But if the gospel was an invitation, I know what I'd think. I'd think I'm not invited. I just know that. I so much more love the gospel being a command. Not you're invited to come to Christ, you're commanded to come to Christ. And the right comes with the command. If he commands you to come, the scripture says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Well, you're in that group, aren't you? I'm in that group. That means I'm commanded. I'm not to try to figure out, oh, I wish I could say this with the proper emphasis. I'm not to try to figure out whether or not I'm elect. I'm not to try to figure out whether or not Christ died for me. I'm commanded to come to Christ, and that's what I'm called on to do. Come. This do ye. This do ye. Lade your beasts, verse 17, and go get into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me. You know the continual message of the gospel is come. That's nonstop. It's never get your life straightened out first. It's never make sure you get rid of this sin or that sin before you dare come. Come. Right now. It's not wait and wait to where you feel better and you feel like you're more in a fit position to come. You're more spiritual. You're not. No, right now, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Right now. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. The only fitness he requires is to have a need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. Oh, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to every one of his people is come to me right now. Come to me, verse 18, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. You shall eat the fat of the land. You come to me and you're getting everything. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely? You hear that word? Freely. Give us all things. Come right now, you're going to have the fat of the land. You're going to have the absolute best. Is Christ the absolute best? If you have Him, you have the absolute best. And he repeats verse 19. Now, thou art commanded. This do ye. You're commanded. I repeat, don't try to figure out whether or not Christ died for you. You're commanded to believe on Him right now. And your right comes with a command. It's not wrong for you to do something that He commands you to do. You're commanded. This do ye. Verse 19. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. There's that word again. Come. Come. Come and welcome. And I love this. Also, regard not your stuff. Now, maybe they accumulated a bunch of stuff. Evidently, he was pretty wealthy because he had money to send the sons down to the land. I don't know what all he had, but I know this. He said, don't regard your stuff. Don't spare it. Don't bring it with you. It's not needed. Now, with regard to your stuff, all your experiences, don't bring it. All your religion, don't bring it. All your stuff, all your baggage, all your things that you think are good, things that you're glad to leave, whatever it is, don't spare your stuff. Don't say, well, I want to keep that. You know, you come to Christ empty-handed, don't you? You don't come bringing anything. If you bring anything, He won't have you. You can't get through the straight gate if you have anything but Christ. You can't walk along the narrow road if you have anything but Christ. If it's not all you have is Christ. Spare not your stuff. It's what the Scripture calls repentance from dead works. All your... Wouldn't it be a blessing to just don't spare any of your stuff? Come to Christ empty-handed and find Him to be all. The good of all the land of Egypt is yours. You have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's nothing you do not have. Nothing. If you have Christ, you have all. If all you have is Christ, all you have is all. All the good of the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. They got those wagons that were provided for them, loaded. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh. Oh, this is all according to the commandment of God. This is not men's ideas or men's way of getting to God. You get wagons, fill them up with my provision, bring them to Jacob, and bring him back. And give them provision for the way. Verse 22. To all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. Now, throughout the Scripture, the righteousness of Christ is compared to raiment. What a glorious raiment we have. The righteousness and merits of Jesus Christ. Don't you love that parable in Matthew chapter 22 where the man comes in without a wedding garment. Everybody else had a wedding garment on, but he didn't. Now, he had something on that he thought probably was just as good as everybody else's. You see, the wedding garment was supplied, and you were given the wedding garment. That's what you came into. But this man thought, mine are okay. And what did the ruler of the feast say? Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. The wedding garment to all of them. A raiment of righteousness. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Now, there's always significance to every number in the Scripture. And I've given this before. 5 is the number of grace. All the tabernacle is all multiples of 5. 5 represents the number of grace. Now, I found this interesting when I looked up this word 300. I thought, well, what's the significance of 300? Why not 299? Why not 301? What's the significance of 300? Well, do you remember when Gideon had his army of 10,000? And God said, that's way too much. Whittle it down to 300 people. Do you remember the 300 foxes that Samson had put their tails in? They burned the fields. I never have figured out how they did that. You know, the 300 foxes going through the barley fields, putting it on fire. 300, according to the Scripture, is always associated with victory. Every time. It's in the Word 30 times, that 300. And it is always associated with victory. Now, what this lets me know is that my righteousness is a gift of grace. And my righteousness is my victory. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, my covering, the Lord, our righteousness. And the one thing that I somewhat regret about using the, but it's scriptural, so I shouldn't regret it, but thinking of righteousness being a garment, if all righteousness is a garment, I'm still the same on the inside. I'm still Todd. And I feel that way. I realize that. But if I have the righteousness of Christ, Scripture says the king's daughter is glorious within. Needlework of wrought gold on the inside. In Christ, I'm righteous on the outside. I'm righteous on the inside. If somebody says, well, I don't feel that way. Who said anything about feeling that way? We believe it by faith. We believe what God's Word says. It's faith is the evidence of things not seen. I sure can't see that I'm holy inside and out. That doesn't line up with my experience the way I feel. But I believe what God says. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So to all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment, the perfect righteousness of Christ. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Those two numbers let us know that this change of raiment is a gift of grace, and it is our victory. This is our victory. I hate it when I've heard preachers say they're living defeated Christian lives. There's no such thing as a defeated Christian life. There's no such thing. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says we always triumph in Christ. Always. 2 Corinthians 2:14. We always triumph in Christ. Verse 23. And to his father, he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father. By the way, now, I know some of you thought about this, but that 10 must have something to do with the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments, God's law being honored in every respect, justice satisfied, the punishment, that was due, any breaking of God's law, the law had to be kept, the honor of the law. It's kind of like there in Ruth, remember, where there were 10 people that had to be satisfied before Boaz could get the had be the right to be the kinsman redeemer. 10 represents the law of God. And the only way I'm going to have the good things of Egypt, and the only way I'm going to have corn and bread and meat for the way, is if the law is honored. The 10 commandments are kept. With regard to the law of God, I've kept it. Somebody says, I'm trying to keep the law. That won't do you any good. If all you're doing is trying to keep it, that means all you've done is broken it. The only thing the law recognizes is perfect obedience. That's who God is. And every believer has perfect obedience before the law because of Jesus Christ, their righteousness. And because of that, all of God's blessing can come to you. All of the good of the land. So, he sent his brethren away, verse 24. He sent his brethren away and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out, by the way. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You give every effort to make sure you don't fall out, by the way. Now, he knew these guys. He knew there would be finger pointing and accusations. He said, make sure you don't fall out, by the way. Oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See that you fall not out by the way. Verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Now, I love thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ just in this twofold description. He lives. He's the living Savior. He was dead, but he's not anymore. He lives, and he's the governor of the universe. He controls everybody and everything. Why, he even controls every thought going through your mind right now. He is Lord. He's the governor of all. So what was Jacob's response? Jacob's heart fainted. He just died in his own mind. For he believed them not. He didn't think this was the truth. Too good to be true. I don't see how this could be true. He believed them not. Verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph. You see, you can't really believe when all you hear is a half a gospel. When all you hear is one part and don't hear the other part. The gospel is one whole. It's made of many parts, which makes the one whole. And if you leave out one part, you no longer have the gospel. It's not a simple message in the sense of, it's very simple, yet it's very profound, it's very glorious. But the gospel has many parts. And if you willfully leave out one part, you no longer have the gospel. If you talk about justification by faith, but never tell what justification is, you've not preached the gospel. If you talk about the precious blood of Christ and leave out the God's election and who the blood's for, you don't have the gospel. The gospel is made of many parts, and to leave out one is to not really hear the gospel. Now, are you saying you've got to hear every doctrine? No, I'm not saying that. You know better than that. But every thing we say lines up with the gospel. And when he heard all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph sent to carry him, he found out about faith. He found out about faith. It's these wagons that are going to bring me there. Not my works. I'm going to be carried in these wagons. This is the way I'm going to get there. The wagons that he provided. Now, let me emphasize as much as I can. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I cannot see my justification. I cannot see my sinlessness. I can't see how when the Son said, "Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Think of that statement. Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Can you see that? Can you see how that could possibly be so? Of course you can't in your experience. What is the evidence that I have these things? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. If you believe the gospel, if you rely on Christ only, you have everything. And the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Oh, he felt completely dead, but it's been revived now. And Israel said, "It's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. It's enough. I'm now ready to die. Joseph lives. Christ lives. That's enough. Is that enough for you? That Christ lives before the Father. Is that enough? What's for Jacob? It's enough." You know, when the Lord was on the cross, the Father said, with regard to His death, "It's enough. It's enough. I'm satisfied. I don't need anything else." You believe that? You really believe that? It's enough. And when I see the Father's satisfaction with the Son, you know what I say? It's enough. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Now, may we all, with Jacob, get in the wagon. God provided it. Get in the wagon. Trust Christ only. And know it's enough. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You for Your salvation, that You say enough with regard to Your Son. That nothing else is needed to make us accepted and perfect and holy in Your sight. Nothing else is needed. Lord, we simply want to be found in Him. Lord, give us grace to come right now to the throne of grace. In our Mediator, our Savior, our Redeemer. Deliver us from waiting to become better, but cause us to come in Thy Son. Bless Your word, for Christ's sake. In His name we pray.